ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परा श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् Paramanandamadhavam. Of the various texts that you have studied so far, the basic foundation texts, which you will find it very useful all through your studies, right, will be Tattvabodha for definitions, Atmabodha for concepts. Did I say Sadhana Panchakam first? No. So start with Sadhana Panchakam. Overall mapping of the spiritual path and the milestones. Sadhana Panchakam. Definitions. Tattvabodha. Concepts. Atmabodha. Upadesha Sara, clarity on all the spiritual paths, all the four. And for your whole life, for keeping the head right, Bhaja Govind. So these texts, if you keep reading again and again and ensure that you have thorough mastery, then you will find you will be able to seamlessly, without much difficulty, study every text of Vedanta. Okay? So please give importance to the basic texts. They are the very foundation. And in this Vedanta Sadha course, we have given sufficient time for covering all these texts. Sufficient time. We didn't hurry up. We didn't fast track it. Nothing. Okay? With this, you will find that any text you are able to. Therefore, whenever you have time, go through these basic texts. And as I always said, you should have your own notes. What I mean, your own personal notes, what you listened in the class, what you are reading in the commentary, and then what you have reflected upon. And for each, you should have one short note. Remember, this Vedant Sadhak course is a full-time program. I don't have to tell after so long. What I mean full-time is that you will not have time for anything else. If you have time for something else, please understand, you are not putting the sufficient efforts required. The course is structured in such a manner, with in between large chunks of time. We are not breaking those chunks of time. And those large chunks of time are meant for serious reflection. Not only the Vedanta, you have other supporting studies also. The Vedanta is the core. And to support this, you have what? You have Sanskrit, you have chanting, other sadhanas, right? So all these things are meant to give that scaffolding for your spiritual studies here. So keep this in mind, and then I'm saying this now because now the Vedanta Sadhak course is entering into a different phase. The foundation phase is over. Now we go into the what? Deeper phase. And the foundation will keep helping you not just for this course, all through your life of study and sadhana, swadhyaya and sadhana. By now you are also sure that there is so much, is it not? And you also know that in 1 year, what you will be able to gain, even though is sufficient and quite deep, this itself is a very vast ocean. And as all of us, we also, when we went to Vedanta, our course, Vedanta course, we wanted to study everything. Everything. We also went with the aim, self-realization at the end of 12 months. See, we have so many, but we know that evolution, spiritual evolution, is a very slow process. Not just slow process, it's a beautiful process. And you can't hasten those things. Our Pujya Gurudev used to give the example of a bud becoming flower. In your eagerness to have the flower, suppose you open the petals. Sometimes they do for some flowers also. Lotus and all. Pat, pat, pat. Now the flower what you get doesn't have that beauty of the natural blossoming. So spiritual life is a slow blossoming. And we should never never, never consider spiritual life is study, you know, what we are studying, and then probably going to temple, sitting quietly, doing some japa. That is not spiritual life. Spiritual life is every interaction. Every interaction, what you have with others, in and through all the interactions, you will find that you are growing. You will find, oh, this response could have been better. Could have been little better. That irritation I could have just curtailed a bit. That sudden burst, you know, was not required. Once this kind of careful introspection happens, then spiritual life moves little more faster. And it is a job of God. It is God's duty to ensure that we are sufficiently disturbed. Why? Only then we start growing. You may wonder, why all this? I could have been. No, that instance was required. Every situation we go through, we experience, is a mirror for knowing who we are. Okay? So, please take spiritual life not just as some studies or not just some kind of spiritual exercises that we do, but our whole day is spiritual life. Okay? So please keep these points in your mind. And now let us enter into the Shastra Grantha. Why are we saying the Shastra Grantha? Because this is not Prakarana Grantha. So for all the texts that you have covered, they are all Prakarana Grantha. They are all Prakarana Grantha means what? Their material is sourced from here. Sourced from here. This is the ocean. And Prakarana Granthas are all taking from this ocean, from this repository. This is the source. Any text that you have studied so far are based on these texts. And the Shastra Grantha or the source texts are what all? The prime one, prime place is given to Upanishad. That is a prime. Called Shruti Prastha, is it not? You have studied all these things. Because these are not authored works. These are not authored works. They are the Vedas. The Shruti, that Shruti is to say, no human or any author whatsoever. Shruti, what we have heard. The Rishis have heard. Then you have the Bhagavad Gita, which is an authored work. And therefore we refer to it as Smriti Prasthana. The word Smriti being recalled, remembered. What we mean by recalled or remembered is there is a human element in it. Smriti. There is a authorship involved. We all know that the Bhagavad Gita is part of the Mahabharata, which Mahabharata itself is authored by Sri Vedavyasa. And what does the Bhagavad Gita contain? The Bhagavad Gita contains the message of the Upanishads. Again, among the source texts also you find, among the Shastra Grantha also you find, the Upanishad holds the highest place. So, from the Upanishads, the essence has been presented. And that too, the beauty of the Bhagavad Gita is the essence as presented by Sri Krishna. Other words, Ishvara. Ishvara's reflections on the reality captured by Sri Vedavyasa. That is the Bhagavad Gita. But here again, the source is what? Upanishad. That is the second Shastra Grantha. Upanishad first, Bhagavad Gita second, and the third one is Brahma Sutra. What is this Brahma Sutra? The doubts which come to your mind after reading the Bhagavad Gita, after reading the Upanishads, essentially, Bhagavad Gita also, but essentially Upanishad. Same Upanishadic thought is there in the Bhagavad Gita, therefore you get clarification on certain things of the Bhagavad Gita also. But here again, the source is what? The Upanishad. That is a Brahma Sutra. Now, we are studying, we are going to take up for study the Kaivalya Upanishad. How many are the number of Upanishads? Many. Definitely more than 108. In the Muktika Upanishad, which is again one of the 108 Upanishads, you find the list of Upanishads which are presented. The list of Upanishads which are there in the Vedic corpus, the Vedic literature. These Upanishads in the Muktika Upanishad, you find 108 are mentioned. And therefore, these 108 Upanishads are considered to be traditionally the Upanishads. There are more also, but the Muktika Upanishad gives importance to the 108. The Kaivalya Upanishad is also part of the 108. Of these 108 Upanishads, Sri Vedavyasa has used 10 Upanishads to clarify the Upanishadic wisdom in the Brahma Sutra. 10 Upanishads. And these 10 Upanishads are Isha. Whenever I say Isha, you have to say Isha Upanishad. You have to add yourself, okay? Isha, Kena, Kata, Mundaka, Mandukya, Isha, Kena, Kata, Prashna. You can add Prashna there. Isha, Kena, Kata, Prashna, Mundaka, Mandukya, Aitareya, Taittiriya, Chandogya, Brihadaranyaka. These are collectively referred to as Dashopanishad. What is the importance of these Dashopanishads? Vedavyasa has used these 10 Upanishads as the reference material for the Brahma Sutra. So thus, these are the Dashopanishads. But Upanishads are not 10. And these Dashopanishads are also commented upon by the great Acharyas. When I say great Acharyas, I refer to Sri Shankaracharya primarily. And following the footsteps of Sri Shankaracharya, you find also these Upanishads are commented by the other Acharyas, Sri Ramanujacharya and Sri Madhvacharya. Even though we do not say major, minor for the Upanishads, these 10 Upanishads are referred to, not in the Indian tradition, they are referred to as major Upanishads. And naturally, when you call these as major Upanishads, what will you call the other? Minor Upanishads. You see how the terms have come and they are misleading. Every Upanishad is major in its content. Right? So the Kaivalya Upanishad, as you can see, is not coming in the 10. And when you hear that it is a minor Upanishad, you may wonder, why should we study minor Upanishad? I want to study major Upanishads. Who gave the term major, minor? Not Veda Vyasa, not Shankaracharya, or not any of the Acharyas of the tradition. The Upanishadic literature is vast, and to hold in its breath all the varied thoughts presented, Sri Vedavyasa picked up 10. And he wanted the Upanishads of different types coming together. And thus, you have the 10 Upanishads and other Upanishads. Every Upanishad is part of the Veda. Be it Rig, Yajus, Sama, Atharva. About Kaivalya Upanishad, there is a certain opinion difference. The Kaivalya Upanishad is considered as part of the Atharva Veda. Some consider the Kaivalya Upanishad as part of the Krishna Yajurveda. The Yajurveda has two broad divisions. One is Shukla Yajurveda, another is Krishna Yajurveda. Later on we will be seeing why this difference, but at this point of time that is not required for our understanding. So the Kaivalya Upanishad in the Atharva Veda or in the Krishna Yajurveda. If it is Krishna Yajurveda, the Shanti Mantra will be Sahana Vavatu. If it is considered as Atharva Veda, the Shanti Mantra will be Badhram Karnevi. In our commentary, you will find Pujya Gurudev has used Badhram Karnevi. So we will stick to Badhram Karnevi and use that as the Shanti Mantra. See the general meaning of the Shanti Mantra and then proceed into the text. Okay? So even as we start the study of the Upanishads, invoke in your heart the blessings of the Lord. You are entering into the Upanishad, the Shastra Grantha. Okay? So we will chant Bhadrangarnebi, since all of us know it well. Do you know what the swaras, right? So we will chant the Bhadrangarnebi. It's there in your sadhana book, right? Om Bhadraṁ karṇebhi śruṇuyāma devāḥ Bhadraṁ paśyemākṣabhiryajatrāḥ Stirairaṅgaiṣṭuṣṭuvāgumsastanūbhiḥ Vyaśema devahitaṁ yadāyuḥ Swasti na Indro vṛddhaśravāḥ Swasti na Pūṣā viśvavedāḥ Swasti nastarkṣo ariṣṭanemih Swasti no brihaspatir dadhatu Om Shanti Shanti Shantih. The Shanti Mantra is traditionally chanted by the student and the teacher together. And the Shanti Mantra is meant for the purpose of putting an end to all vighnas, obstacles that come in the course of the study. All right. So, Bhadraṁ karṇebhi śruṇuyāma devāḥ. Hey devāḥ. So, devāḥ. Devāḥ, all the cosmic deities. Who are they in fact? They are all expressions of Ishvara. Ishvara manifesting as various cosmic deities. So to all of them, He Devaha, O deities, O devtas, Karnebhi Bhadram Shrunuyama. Shrunuyama, may we hear, may we listen. May we listen what? Karnebhi Bhadram. Through our ears, the auspicious. Through our ears, the auspicious. Meaning, please provide us more and more opportunities where we are able to hear auspicious, experience auspicious things. And the most auspicious is the Vedic wisdom. Therefore, requesting for more and more opportunities to hear the Vedas, to study the Vedas. Next. Bhadram Pashyema Akshibihi Yajatraha. Yajatraha. He Yajatraha. He Yajatraha. So, one, those who protect. That refers to protection. O deities, who protect those who perform yajñas, yajatraha. Yaj, to worship, to perform yajña. The tra is that protection. So, O devatas, you who protect those who perform yajñas, meaning you who protect those who are devoted to you. And we are devoted to you. Hey Jatraha, what is the request? Akshibihi, through our eyes. Earlier it was karnebihi, through our ears. Now akshibihi, through our eyes, bhadram pashyema. May we see that which is auspicious. You see here, eyes and ears are taken. The majority of our inputs come from our eyes and ears. And what we take in through our senses, they become thoughts. Thoughts becomes samskaras, vasanas, and they color our mind, our experiences, and therefore, please, may we see what is auspicious, may we hear what is auspicious. Meaning, let our mind also hanker for that which is auspicious and never the inauspicious. Stiraihi angaihi tanubihi tushtuvamsaha. Stiraihi. Stiraihi means firm, strong, healthy. Angaihi, limbs. Through healthy limbs, through strong limbs. Tanubihi, through our bodies. Meaning it is all the students are singing, therefore bodies, plural. Through our ears and eyes, also plural, you see. And why this plural is used? Plural is used to indicate all the students are chanting together with the teacher, is it not? Therefore lots, therefore plural is used. The same way, stiraihi angaihi, through our limbs, through our bodies. Tushtuvamsaha, as we, the tushtuvamsaha is coming, you know, stuti is there, you know, have stuti. As we praise, as we praise, yad ayuhu devahitam vyashema. Even as we glorify you through our various limbs and bodies. What do you mean glorify through our limbs and bodies? Every action that we do is a glorification of the Lord. Is an expression of our devotion unto the Lord. And not meant for any selfish purposes. Every action that we take up is our worship unto the Lord. Yadyat karma karomi tattad akilam shambho tavaradhanam. Whatever action I do, O Lord Shiva, is meant for you. So thus, divinizing every actions as devotion unto the Lord, and thus our very action becomes our song unto you, our prayer unto you, our stuti, glorification unto you. And as we do that, yad ayuhu, whatever life is there, yad ayuhu, devahitam vyashema. Devahitam vyashema, for the sake of the divinity, may it be spent. Meaning through our various limbs and through the body, we undertake various actions. And those actions, let it be a praise unto you. Let it be a worship unto you. And even as we do those actions that way, let our life be spent. Vyashema. Let it be used. Vyashema. For what? Devahitam. As a blessings as something which is beneficial to the deities, Devahitam. Meaning, the actions that we do may be of that nature which benefits the work of the gods. And may it be a glory unto the Supreme Lord. So there's a prayer. Next line you see. Swastina Indro Vriddhashravaha. Vriddhashravaha, whose glory is quite old, is quite ancient. Who is that? Indra, the Lord of the Devatas. O Indra, who is so well known for your valorous deeds. Naha, for us, su asti, that is swasti. May you be, O Indra of renown, may you be mangalamaya for us, auspicious for us. That's swasti, auspicious. Then Vishwadevaha, Vishwavedaha, Pusha. Pusha is a sun god. Vishwaveda, Vishwa is all, Veda is knowing, meaning one who knows all, Sarvagnya. O sun, the all-knower, Naha Swasti, may you be auspicious for us. O Indra, bless us. O Sun, please bless us. Be auspicious for us. And then what? Arishtanemihi Tarkshyaihi Naha Swasti. Arishtanemihi. Arishta means enemy, Shatru. Nemi is what? Nemi is that which is round, the circumference. It refers to the chakra. And who has chakra? Bhagavan Vishnu has chakra. So, one who is the chakra for enemy. One who is the, what do you call that? It's called disc, is it not? Disc, chakra for the enemy. Here Arishta also means also sorrow, dukkha. So one who is like the discus, puts an end. So Arishta Nemi. So Takshya refers to Vishnu. Also the word Takshya also refers to Garuda. The word Tarakshya also refers to Vayu, wind god. Why is that? Because Arishta Nemihi can be dissolved also as Arishta Nemihi Yasya. Nemi means gati, movement. Arishta means unblocked. So, one whose movement is unrestricted, Arishta. So that way, you know, different meanings can come out of this. And therefore, Vayu refers to one whose movement is unrestrained. So, Vayu Devata. Garuda also is one whose movement cannot be restrained, Garuda, Vahana of Bhagavan Vishnu. So, O Tarakshya. So, Tarakshya can refer to Bhagavan Vishnu, can refer to Garuda, can refer to Vayu. Please put an end to my sorrow.
and may you be swasti, may you be mangala, auspicious for me. Brihaspati. Brihaspati is the god, is the guru of the gods. So he is the guru of the devtas. For us, Naha, swasti, may you be auspicious. Dadatu. Dadatu, may you nourish and hold us. Be auspicious, nourish and hold us. So this is the meaning of the Shanti Mantra. So you will see the various Vedic deities, their blessings are invoked before the study begins. Om Bhadram Karne Vishrunuyama Devah Bhadram Pashye Makshabhirya Jatraha Stirairangai Istushtu Vagum Sastanubihi Vyashema Devahitam Yadayuhu Swastina Indro Vriddhashravaha Swastina Pusha Vishvavedaha Swasti nastarksho varishta nemihi Swasti no brihaspatir dadhatu Om shanti shanti shantihi. So every day we will chant this prayer before we start our session.